Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Harold, president of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron. On behalf of myself and the First Friday Club board, I'd like to welcome you and thank you for coming to our March 2024 program. Our special presenters for today are four seniors from our Summit County Catholic High Schools. Please silence your cell phones so that everyone can enjoy today's program. After the presentation, you'll have the opportunity to write down questions for our speakers. After the talk, we'll have a short announcement break to collect those question cards, and then we'll have a question-answer session. It's now my pleasure to introduce Our Lady of the Alms student, Ella Wilford, who will offer our opening prayer.
Let us begin in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Let us thank God for this food we have shared and the time we are spending together. Let us open our ears and our hearts to the speeches that we are about to hear and appreciate the truth conveyed through every person's experience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Ella. It's my pleasure now to welcome our four student speakers representing our Summit County Catholic High Schools. And I invite all four of them to come up and take a seat here at the platform. They will each be introduced by their president or principal and will do their presentations in alphabetical order of their schools, beginning with Archbishop Hoban, followed by Our Lady of the Alms, St. Vincent, St. Mary, and Wolf Jesuit. So we will begin with Archbishop Hoban, and I believe Principal T.K. Griffith will be doing the introduction.
Number one, there's steps on the side of the stage here. Every time I've spoken here, I've gone straight up and I tripped. So you're already up here. I'm just giving you a pointer for the future. Number two, you're bound to be nervous, okay? You're bound to be nervous. It's okay. Just breathe through your nose. Even if you have to be silent for a while, it's okay. Number three, Cole's mom and dad are here, and he might forget to thank them for bringing them into the world. So can they stand up, Cole's mom and dad? Please stand up and be recognized. And, here's the problem. My jokes aren't funny. Who knows who Paul Harvey is in here? Okay, good. I researched the heck out of a Paul Harvey line, and then I realized most people would not understand the Paul Harvey line. But Paul Harvey was a radio, for those of you who don't know who Paul Harvey is, youngsters, he was a very well-known radio personality. And he always said this line, now you know the rest of the story.
Yep. You gotta do the voice.
Yeah, I can't do that. But when I was researching Paul Harvey, trying to integrate this joke into my introduction of Cole, there was an episode about Wyoming where he was talking about how Wyoming was such a great state because it was the first state to have a woman governor way back in the 1800s. I did not know that. But he was also talking about how it was an outlaw state. And Cole reminds me of this story. So these two outlaws were going to have a gunfight on the streets of, I think, Cheyenne. And their names were Charlie and Joe. But let's call them Cole and Joe. They show up for the gunfight, and Cole realizes that Joe forgot his gun, doesn't have his weaponry. And so what Cole does is says, hey, let's reschedule. Let's reschedule for tomorrow so you can bring the same amount of weaponry as I have so we can both have our guns on our holsters and have a true gunfight. That is the story that reminds me of Cole Harvey, because Cole is such a kind soul that even if he was an outlaw in the wild, wild west, and he showed up for a gunfight, if he realized the other guy didn't have a gun, he would reschedule. That's basically my introduction. But Kristen Heller did all of this work for me, so I've got to share some of the great things. This is the word on the street about Cole Harvey. Desiree Moyer says, his joy for life is contagious. No pressure. Kristen Heller says that as a student ambassador and admissions aide, Cole is in charge and has taken charge of receiving the students who shadow Hoban at the end of the day. And his signature question for them is, rate your day from 1 to 10. And then he always asks, what made it such a great visit? And what could make it better? His positive attitude and smile are infectious, and he always takes the time to ask how your day is going. Mike McDonald says, Cole Harvey has made Hoban and the faculty, fellow students, and the family a part of his own family and the Hoban family. He's integrated himself into that. I just messed that up, but that's okay. He strives to provide an option for the poor by participating in Project Hope, being a Eucharistic minister, and many of the service opportunities that Hoban has. And finally, he says that Cole has a natural zeal for life. I love that word, zeal. And Cole reminds me of that word every day. By integrating all of the people into the Hoban culture. Colleen Bassessi says, one of my favorite memories about Cole is that we had a winter dance that not many of the older boys were going to attend. Cole knew that it was so important for student council to attend and participate that he stepped up to the plate. He came in with a friendly smile, an optimistic attitude, and determined to enjoy that moment. A true leader that appreciates the little opportunities in life, even when it's not a popular decision, like going to that dance, is something that Mrs. Bassessi appreciates. And finally, Nicole Episcopo says that Cole will always greet you with direct eye contact, ask how you're doing. He even asks about my fiance and my pets, she says, because he genuinely engages with people. And, by the way, he was incredible at Spes Unica by leaning into the retreat and bringing people into the fold as a listener and engager. So that's a little bit about Cole Harvey, but now you're going to hear the rest of the story.
Good afternoon.
As Mr. Griffith said, my name is Cole Harvey, and I am a senior at Archbishop Hoban High School. I would like to start by thanking everyone for attending this gathering. I'd also like to thank the organization itself, First Friday Club of Greater Akron, because I'd be in study hall if it weren't for this amazing opportunity. In October of 2019, I was in eighth grade, my last year at St. Hilary. I was going to Shadow Hoban with my friend Michael. I didn't know where I wanted to go for high school, my local public school or a private school, after spending 9 years at St. Hilary. It was between my local public school or Walsh at this point, and Walsh was winning because they had good food. So walking into Hoban's doors, I was doubtful I'd be going to high school there. That doubt vanished the day that I shadowed. In my shadow's last class, my mom texted me, "Did you like Hoban? Do you want to go there?" I quickly replied, "I loved it. This is the school for me." I applied and got my acceptance letter with a pair of stylish Hoban socks. Right there. If you can't see them over here. So there they are. I was going to be a Hoban Knight. It was official. A year later, COVID-19 shocks the entire world. This was a tough time for everybody, especially for people going through a new experience. Being a freshman wasn't the easiest during COVID. I struggled in my classes and struggled to find where it stood in God's plan for me to be a Hoban student. It got to the point where I considered transferring, but I realized something when I shadowed somewhere else. The old saying, "the grass is greener on the other side," had a meaning to me. Instead of looking elsewhere for a better environment, I should water my own grass and tend to what I already had. Sophomore year came with a new perspective in mind: water my own grass at Hoban. I had that gut feeling, the one God gives you only so often. Hoban was where I had to be. God gave me a purpose as a Hoban student. God was walking with me as I watered my own grass. Just gonna provide. As a Holy Cross school, there are 10 values we try to model our Catholic lives after, the Holy Cross core values. They are taught to Hoban students to create the process known as information, formation, and transformation. They inform us of God's presence, form us into disciples with hope to bring, and then we, the Hoban students, are transformed into the new adults of the world. These 10 values surround the walls of our chapel. When I read them, 3 core values always stand out to me: family, inclusiveness, and zeal. That's only 3 out of the 10 core values of Hoban. You might ask, what about the other 7? The other core values are just as important. However, in my eyes, there's a catch to them. The core values do not exist separately. Rather, they all work together. Family is a core value seen everywhere at Hoban. Classrooms, teams, and clubs share the feeling of community. These small families at Hoban practice other core values within them. As the president of the senior class, I have the opportunity to attend meetings with the student council. These meetings are centered on discipline and excellence, and the council is set on one mission: improvement. Improve student life at Hoban, whether it's a school-wide rock, paper, scissors game or a pep rally for Mum Day, an age-old tradition at Hoban. Planning these activities takes time out of people's lives, which requires plenty of discipline. Coming from experience, planning out winter formal with calculus homework due next period is not an easy task. Also, these activities cannot be done haphazardly and require the student council's excellency. God has guided me to these small families at Hoban for good reason. They communicate the core values of discipline and excellence, traits that lead me to being a disciple with hope to bring. Back to my day shadowing Hoban. On that day, the core value of inclusiveness activated, and I didn't even know it. We're moving back. All of us have gone somewhere new and felt like a fish out of water. As an 8th grader in high school, that's exactly how I felt. I thought to myself, how are these kids so big? How do they have beards and mustaches? I felt out of place because I barely knew anyone. But as the day progressed, I got comfortable with the Hoban students. We joked at lunch, showing each other memes on our phones. Leaving Hoban that day, I felt included. So, when I got to Hoban, remembering to water my own grass, I signed up to be a student ambassador. A student ambassador at Hoban hosts shadows and attends out-of-school events. It came full circle. The shadow became the host. Student ambassadors at Hoban fit the message and mission of the Congregation of Holy Cross. One only needs to look at the example of St. Andre Bessette. He would hold the door open, both figuratively and literally, for Holy Cross educators and students. His willingness to include others in the Holy Cross mission made him a true ambassador. In the present day, student ambassadors act in his footsteps, holding the door open and being messengers for Hoban. This role is not only one of inclusiveness, it provides hope, too. As I grow stronger in my faith in Hoban and God, I grow as a person by being a guide for someone else. It helps me realize how God leads me through inclusiveness and hope as a student ambassador. Christian service aligns with the core value option for the poor, yet it extends to many others. Hoban offers service opportunities to immerse ourselves into our surrounding environment. One of those service opportunities, JAM, which stands for the Justice Akron Ministry, was a pleasure to participate in. I spent 3 days a year with my friends completing service, from painting rooms to jumping rope with kids. I wasn't able to go to JAM my senior year, which opened up the opportunity to serve somewhere new. So I explored 2 opportunities at Hoban: the Vincent House and tutoring at St. Mary Grade School. The Vincent House has volunteers play, tutor, and learn with kids. At first, I was sort of uncomfortable working with kids, but the last few times I went, I had kids clinging to my arms. My favorite time with the kids was playing Real Life Among Us, where I was the imposter tagging all the kids. The last few times I went, at St. Mary's, I had the opportunity to tutor a 6th grader named Jason. For 4 months, I grew as a mentor as Jason grew as a student. I found out that I'm not as good at sixth grade math as I thought. Long division is not for the weak. All of these service opportunities have educated me both in the heart and mind, another one of our 10 core values. As I grew in relationship with others, I learned more about myself. I learned where I stand in the reality of God's presence in the people and world around us. Through these acts of service, I found myself again and again being centered in the values of Holy Cross. Football games are one of my favorite traditions at Hoban. My favorite game was the Walsh game, winning in overtime 35-34. Sorry, guys. I remember the superfans leading us through the chants in the stands. I saw them and knew I had to be a superfan my senior year. This year, I was blessed with that privilege. Being a superfan is the embodiment of zeal. Your job is to have so much school pride that it's infectious to everyone. I would describe being a superfan with a quote my president, Chris DeMauro, said to us our first day of senior year. Show them what it means to be a Hoban Knight. Superfans are about being an example to the rest of the students. With this responsibility comes great integrity. We must uphold the integrity of being a Hoban Knight, a disciple with hope to bring. This has not only brought me to a better understanding of my pride for Hoban, but my pride for God. Being a superfan isn't just cheering for your school, it's cheering for God, so much so that it's infectious to others. Lastly, there is a Hoban tradition that marks all of the core values, Spes Unica. It is a three-day retreat with your peers and teachers where you grow so much as a person. You spend the 3 days in a new family with no phones. The retreat leaders make a disciplined yet fun daily schedule. No moment is short of excellence, as it's an emotional roller coaster. Within the small groups, everyone is included and embraced. You are showered with overwhelming hope. Those who are poor in spirit speak about their feelings and are heard and consoled. As you learn about those around you, you are informed, formed, and transformed into a greater disciple of Christ, educating the heart and the mind. The zeal is so strong in the lighter moments that it's palpable. After the retreat is done, the integrity of what we learned is carried out in our lives. Those were 9 out of the 10 core values, which leaves the final one, divine providence. It is described as God's presence in one's life and is the quintessential value at Spes Unica. The retreat felt like a hug from God, telling me I was on the right path. God had walked with me, and I had the competency to see his workings in my life. There's one more thought that I'd like to share. These words are from Blessed Basil Moreau, founder of the Congregation of Holy Cross. For the kingdom to come in this world, disciples must have the competency to see and the courage to act. Throughout my time as a Hoban student, I have been blessed with many opportunities to see and feel God walking with me. Whether it was holding the door open or painting a massive pink H on my chest for a football game, God was by my side. Spes Unica informed me how deeply God works in my life and has helped to form me into a disciple with hope to bring. It is my time now to transform into adulthood and act with great courage, acting as an ambassador, servant, superfan, and child of the Lord. Thank you for your time.
Very nicely done. I learned a great deal about Hoban today, which is a good thing. Good afternoon. I'm Deborah Farquhar Jones, president of Our Lady of the Elms.
Poised and gentle, today's Elm speaker is everything you could hope for in a student and a human being. Never will she be the loudest in the room. She will, however, be the one who steps forward with wisdom and gratitude in her heart. She will always live the 4 Dominican pillars of prayer, study, preaching, and community. Lisa Thomas joined the Elms community in sixth grade, along with her older sister, Maria. They live a faith-filled life because it's a family commitment. The family resides in Twinsburg. Mom is a doc. Dad is a computer engineer. And sadly, they couldn't join us today because of job responsibilities. But just the same, on Sundays, you will find the family in the pews of Saints Cosmos and Damian Church in Twinsburg, where Lisa has deepened her faith as an altar server. As a senior at the Elms, Lisa is carrying four APs this year, including AP English, AP Calculus BC, and she's doubling up her APs in science with AP Physics and AP Chemistry. She has been accepted at John Carroll and the Ohio State main campus, but she's chosen to follow her sister Maria, Elms Class of 2022, and attend Youngstown State University's Back Med program, where she has a direct admit into Northeast Ohio Medical University, NeoMed. Lisa embraces her Indian culture. She has attended the Shiva Vishnu Temple to learn Bharatanatyam, close, classical dance. Lisa's dance group has showcased their skills around Greater Cleveland in order to spread cultural awareness through their art. Lisa also volunteers at Ahuja Medical Center and loves the hospital environment, the staff, and helping to meet patient needs. To round out her senior year, she's a member of the Elms Music Ministry Group, which provides music for school masses. She participates in Academic Challenge just for fun. She also serves as a member of the Kairos team and spent a week last summer at the Dominican Preaching Conference in Adrian, Michigan, representing the Elms. You know, what I love about this is it gives each of us a chance to showcase our charisms, because they are all so incredibly different, which is why the four schools thrive here in Summit County.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Please join me in welcoming our senior speaker, Lisa Thomas, Elms Class of 2024.
Okay. Hello, everyone. As Ms. Farquhar-Jones just mentioned, my name is Lisa Thomas, and I'm a senior at Our Lady of the Elms. It's an honor to be here today to share how God has walked with me over the last few years. For some background, I've been blessed growing up in a Catholic family. Since I was a child, my family attended Mass every Sunday at my parish, St. Gaudens and Damien. In the car on the way to school, we would pray, and on Fridays every week, we prayed the rosary. Initially, I attended a non-denominational Christian school. I learned about the Bible, prayed, and memorized Bible verses weekly. I attended Faith Formation, or PSR, classes at my parish to deepen my Catholic faith. In fourth grade, I signed up to be an altar server. For sixth grade, I was blessed to join the Elms. My mom attended an all-girls Catholic school and loved it, so I was looking forward to a positive experience. That first year, I enjoyed masses at the beautiful chapel in the Mother House. I remember seeing everyone around me, sisters and students, singing, and I could feel that the Elms was a place where I felt my faith was celebrated. These early experiences shaped me and were the foundation of my faith. Though I've never lost my faith, like many, I've had moments of confusion, especially at times when it seemed like good, evil won over good, or when I witnessed bad examples of faith or heard of people who lost their faith in God. Sometimes, I felt like I was just checking things off a list. However, over the past few years, God brought me closer to Him through study, community, preaching, and prayer. These are the four words hanging on the brick wall in the Elms Commons. These are the four Dominican pillars that the Elms community is built on. Over the years, studying is something that has brought me closer to God. Firstly, through theology classes, we study scripture and learn about how we can live it out. But the pillar of study relates not only to the study of faith, but also academics. Academics is something that's important to me, and science particularly fascinates me. As a child, I spent much of my time outside in nature, biking, collecting pebbles, and picking up worms from my front yard. Now at the Elms, I've taken science classes like biology, where I learn about the structure of life, chemistry, where I learn about the behavior of atoms and matter, and physics, where I learn about the laws that affect everyone and everything. In class, I'm reminded of these everyday complexities. I'm in awe of the beauty of the structure of nature and creation, and more importantly, God, who designed all of this so intricately and delicately, He who understands it all when I don't. Preaching or service is another pillar. Once in a while, service hours come up in a conversation, and when I mention that the Elms has a 120 service hour requirement, some people are a bit shocked. But it's an integral part of my Elms community. It teaches us how to live out our faith, not just through words, but in action. It teaches us to be the hands of God in the world. Service forms us into the servant leaders we're all called to be. Whether it was helping out at my parish, a nursing home, my local library, or a hospital, God brought me to places where I learned more about myself and God and saw Him in the face of others. Becoming involved in Elms community is something God definitely led me to. I sang in the chamber choir, wore masks in sophomore year, but my involvement with faith in my school community didn't happen until junior year, when the music ministry was started. Around the same time, I also joined FAST, or the Faith and Spirituality team, to help plan masses and lead faith-related events. Though I didn't realize it at the time, God brought me to join these groups, allowing me not to just connect with my community in a new way and help others celebrate Christ, but also to become more committed to my own faith. That year, I also had the honor of being chosen as a Kairos leader. Now I can see that God led me to these groups to draw me closer to my classmates, learn to rely on Him, and grow spiritually. Prayer. Though I prayed with my family often, prior to the last 2 years, I personally didn't pray as much as I wish I had, and there's definitely still a lot of room for improvement. But progressing through high school, becoming involved in my community, having more responsibilities, helped me realize how much I needed God. I realized that there are things that are out of my control and choices that I have to make where I must rely on God's plan. Prayer gave me a sense of peace. Helped me recognize the importance of Mass. In the past, sometimes I felt like I was just going through the motions over and over again every Sunday, but with prayer and intention, I've come to see that Mass is special. It's a sacred time to grow in my relationship with God. I feel a sense of peace and calmness, like right now, this is where I'm meant to be. Looking back, I can see that even in moments of doubt and uncertainty, God was always there, guiding me with the Dominican pillars through the highs and lows of high school. His presence was evident in my school community, in the faces of my friends, classmates who were always ready to chat, and in the teachers and staff who were so dedicated, caring, and passionate. As I prepare for the next chapter of my life, I carry with me the lessons learned from my Elms community and the faith strengthened during my time in high school. I'm thankful for the ways in which God has walked alongside me through this journey, making me into the person I am today.
My name is Mark Butterworth, and I'm proud to serve as the president of St. Vincent St. Mary High School. And today I have the pleasure to introduce one of our outstanding seniors, Isabella Ella Lewis. A little bit about Ella. There's a few things to cover here. She's not only the president of National Honor Society, she's the treasurer of Mu Theta Alpha, Alpha Theta, our math society. She's the captain of the tennis team. She runs track and cross country. She's not only in campus ministry, which we have our campus minister, Julie Goshi, with us. Ella is not only a Eucharistic minister, she's a Kairos leader and a Marianist Life core leader. The key with all of this is, on top of all of this, our top designation on our honor roll is our principal's list, 4.0 and higher. She's been there her entire time at St. Vincent St. Mary High School. Not only a dedicated student, a dedicated athlete, dedicated to her faith, she's one of our star leaders here at the school. She is going to the University of Baton. Chemical engineering is what she's planning on studying right now. And she was selected out of several applicants to be part of the University of Baton's Marianist Leader Scholar Program, which is a very, very high honor. For us at the school, we talk about be your best, be Irish, and what does that mean? We have our Catholic mission, we have our Marianist charisms, our five pillars there, and then we talk about high atop a hill on Akron waves the green and gold. And when we look for our students to exemplify those, some students sometimes maybe have a glass half full, some students have a lot of zeal, which is really good. For her, her cup runneth over, not only with our Catholic mission, with our Marianist charism, also with her school spirit high atop the hill in Akron. It's an honor and a privilege for all of you to listen to her today. I'd like to introduce and please give her a warm welcome to Ella. Thank you.
Hello. As they shared, I'm Ella Lewis, and I'm so happy to be here with you guys today. 2 years ago, actually, when I was a sophomore, I was sitting in one of these seats here because one of my friends, Andy McKnight, who was a senior at the time, was giving this talk. So it's kind of cool to be back here in almost a full circle kind of moment. All my life, I've had some connection with God, an outlet, if you will, and the places and people that were constants in my life. Whether it's because I grew up in a supportive Catholic family, or because I attended weekend mass every single weekend, or even with the fact that I've been attending a Catholic school for pretty much my entire life. I went to Immaculate Heart of Mary for kindergarten to eighth grade, and I've been going to St. Vincent St. Mary for the past 4 years. But in spite of all the faith support that I had surrounding me, there's been a distinct divide in my faith, where I'm either super strong in my connection with God, but then on the other side, I fall into periods of time where there isn't really that relationship, and I'm struggling with the trusting side of faith. Entering high school was one of those ruts, so to speak. COVID hit my eighth grade year, and during that period of time, to about halfway through freshman year, I struggled with leaning into God when I was uncertain. And I eventually put up a wall between myself and God. During that time, everything outwardly appeared to be as if I was in a stronger relationship with God, because I was still actively involved in faith-based activities. However, that was the farthest that I'd ever really felt from God. I kind of drifted through high school up until the summer between my sophomore and junior year. I wanted a change. I wanted to return to God. And little did I know, God had been guiding me to that moment. I wouldn't be able to talk about my high school experience without mentioning Marianist life. So for those of you who don't know, St. Vincent St. Mary is not only a Catholic school, but it's also a Marianist high school. And if you're anything like me when you first heard that word, you're probably wondering, what on earth is Marianist? It's basically using Mary as our model of faith. Like, for example, at the wedding of Cana, when she says, do whatever he tells you, which for any person of faith, that is key, trusting and leaning into God and Jesus. We also learn and embody different characteristics of Marianist education, one of which, and my personal favorite, being educating in family spirit. This is a characteristic within STVM that creates a sense of community that serves as a place of acceptance, but also depth within each relationship you form, just as Mary had unwavering love and commitment to Jesus. So as a Marianist high school, St. Vincent St. Mary gets the blessing to send a few students every summer to Dayton for a 5-day retreat with other Marianist high schools from around the nation in Puerto Rico. This retreat and program is called Marianist Life, which means living in faith experience. Towards the end of my sophomore year, I received an email showing me this opportunity, and soon afterwards, I found myself in a van with our new campus minister and 5 other students making our way to the Bergamo Retreat Center in Dayton, Ohio. On the way down, doubts flooded my mind because the other girls with me were so much further along in their faith journey, and I began feeling that I was the odd one out of the group. Why had I accepted this retreat? I could name so many other students that were deserving of this position, but why was I still so drawn to it, and how come I received it? In confession, during one of my last days there, I got my answer. Father Fritz, the priest I was with at that time, when I shared my struggles in my faith, told me this one Bible verse that I've been holding on to ever since. Later, I found out that was Mark chapter 9, verse 24. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. This verse to me meant that it wasn't that I didn't believe. It was that I had disbelief and I struggled to trust God's plan for me. And with Father Fritz's words in that moment, I felt a substantial shift in my faith. God was still guiding me. My journey was the farthest thing from being done. The longer I stayed, bless you, at this retreat center, the more my eyes opened to God's path that he had set me on the second I walked into St. Vincent St. Mary High School. That night, for the first time ever, I opened my Bible, desperate to find that Bible verse. And mind you, this retreat was a no phone, no technology type thing. So I just spent that night flipping through the Bible until I ended up eventually finding that Bible verse. All my life until that point, I didn't really have an idea of what I wanted to do, who I wanted to be, or honestly, even where I wanted to go. My future was limited to high school, and everything after that just didn't feel real. It felt blurry. God guided me to that retreat for a bigger reason than I realized at that point in time. Following summer life, I got a glimpse of who I wanted to be, or more importantly, whose I wanted to be. It was almost like God had led me to a mirror, showing me the reflection of the person he wanted me to be, and who, if I trusted him, he would make me. Confident, able and eager to share my faith with everyone I encountered, whether it was through my actions or through my words. My plan for myself, who I thought I had to be, opened up, and I could see where God was going to guide me in my life. So out I went my junior year, still a little unsure of the plan I had before me, but I was listening with a careful ear to everything that God was telling me. At this point, I was Marion's life leader at my school, and I was in charge of planning and leading these faith group meetings. Slowly but surely, I shifted my trust to God and began talking about my faith more and more confidently. In the spring of my junior year, I applied to be a Kairos leader, which is a student-led retreat based around and literally meaning God's time. Not my time, not the world's time, but our Creator's timeline. Attending Kairos as a retreatant and leader, God led me to some of the most beautiful, genuine people in my life, who I'm beyond proud and blessed to say have become some of my best friends. In Kairos, the best way that I can describe it is like sitting in a car, or a stairwell, or in the middle of a forest, wherever that serene, secluded place is for you, and truly only focusing on the people before you and God. You don't just get to know the people. You get to see them through and through, how they are all just like you and I, children of God. Being able to experience such a profound encounters of God with a group of people at my age is something that can only be cherished. I can't even put into words the impact that it's had in my life and in my faith. God has led me through high school to the opportunity of Kairos and through it to some of the most influential people in my life. Furthermore, this year, I became a Eucharistic minister of Holy Communion at my school, which has been yet another blessing from God. Being able to share the Eucharist with my teachers and classmates during school masses and even doing the ashes during Ash Wednesday has brought a whole new depth to my experience of Mass and the joy it brings me to share the body of Christ with them. Each opportunity I get to do it, I feel like I'm sharing my faith in a very palpable way. Now it's senior year, and let me just say, walking in freshman year, it's very easy to say that I was a completely different person than I am here before you. And with hindsight and a little bit more trust in God, I can't help but look back and see the previously invisible string, God, pulling me along an unseen path to where I am meant to be today. Just think about a time in your own lives where you didn't necessarily feel God in those moments, but with time and prayer, you slowly see him appearing into the picture and guiding you along the path. For you, was this a decision to join a team or a community where you ended up meeting people who helped lead you to see God in every single aspect of life? Or maybe it was an opportunity for you to get out of your comfort zone, take a leap of faith that led to a more spiritual and personal growth than you ever thought possible. Or is it just simply taking the present moment that you have and getting to know the people around you, your brothers and sisters, as God sees them? These are examples of the opportunity God presents us that we sometimes don't see his divine hand at work. So how has God walked me through high school? He's guided me when I couldn't see the path. He carried me when I couldn't bear my own weight. And he stayed by me even when I tried to run away. He ultimately presented me with opportunities through St. Vincent St. Mary, such as Marianist life, Kairos, and Eucharistic ministering, and the people that have shaped me into the person that I am today. Without such things and St. Vincent St. Mary, I wouldn't be continuing my education at a Catholic Marianist university, the University of Dayton, or continuing to share my faith in every opportunity I get, such as the Marianist Leaders Scholars Program at UD, where I get to give myself to a faith-based community that works on service and fellowship. I also wouldn't have such strong relationships with some of the people that have forever changed my life, some of whom who are present here today. God has called each and every one of us in many different ways that we don't always see at first. But a big thing for myself, and hopefully that you see in your day-to-day life, was allow me to see whose I was, a child of God. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Sean Lynch. I'm the principal at Walsh Jesuit High School. I'd like to first start by thanking the First Friday Club of Greater Akron for devoting their time and resources to make an event like this possible. If you're anything like me, you look out into society and you look at headlines, and it can be disheartening for where our culture and our society is going. And then you come to an event like this, and you look out into the crowd, and you listen to these four speakers, and it gives you hope. It gives you hope for our church. It gives you a hope for our society. And so again, thanks for the First Friday Club of Greater Akron, and congratulations to each of our four speakers on being the difference makers that our society and our world need so desperately today. Well, I have the privilege of introducing one of these difference makers to you today. It's a young man that I have a tremendous amount of respect for and admiration for. Owen Feliciano came to Walsh Jesuit in the fall of 2020 from Kempton Middle School in Stowe. And when he came here, and since he's been here, I've had a firsthand witness of his growth and his maturation as a student, as a person, as an athlete, as a leader, and as a man of faith. He has truly left an indelible mark on every aspect of Walsh Jesuit High School. Owen's parents are Brian and Alicia Feliciano, and his younger sister, Kate, who's a junior, is sitting right in the back over there. But Owen Feliciano is a Kairos retreat leader. He's a four-year member of our football team. He is a weekly volunteer at the Peter Morin Center, and he sometimes finds time in his weekly endeavors to work at his local Acme Fresh Market grocery store. When he comes out here, one of the first things that really left a mark on me and I want you to notice is his ever-present smile. Make sure he's doing that. It's that same smile that greets me and others every single day when he walks into our commons doors in the morning. And it's that same smile that kind of highlights the kindness with which he treats all individuals and also his positive approach to life that he has. But don't be fooled. Don't be fooled, because behind that smile, it does also mask some of the growth that has happened. Everything hasn't just come easy to Owen. And I want you to hear his story today so he can talk about some of those things. So if you peer behind the smile, you get to find out a little bit about his incredible faith journey, and about the obstacles that he has overcome. And so I'm really excited for you to hear his story today. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome a true man for others, Mr. Owen Feliciano.
I'm Owen Feliciano. First of all, I want to say how grateful I am for this opportunity and for everyone coming out to support me. And everyone else. I understand that God has walked with me in my life and through high school, but I think it's more than that. I think my talk is more than that. I think it's about the people he put in my life to walk with me through this journey, this crazy, crazy journey that I'm on. So from some of my life, I did not believe in God. I did not believe in the mission that he had for me, and I believed that it was all just a hoax. I thought life was just football. I went to school because I could only play football. And then I came to Walsh Jesuit. And that was what changed me. I was very confident in myself as a person, but not in my faith. Football was my escape from the world and from everything else. I had to sit out for most of my freshman year with a back problem that I just could not get rid of. This was hard for me because football was my life. This experience helped me grow into be the person I am today. I continue with physical therapy every day, but my freshman year was very shaky. I did not know who my real friends were. Everyone was just wishy-washy. I was one of three kids who came from my middle school. I lost my great-grandmother this year. She was a rock of my family and my sister's best friend. I did not show much empathy during this because I was not as close with her as she was. My sister took this really hard. My Gigi was her best friend. My sister was in a dark place, and I didn't know how to help. All I could do was hear what my parents would tell me about how she was, but I never talked to her because we were not that close. We would always get in arguments, and everything we talked about ended up in a fight. I think that's why we're so close now, because we love each other. Freshman year showed me that I was going to have to be an independent person. I was going to have to lean on myself, and life was not going to be easy. But God put people like my mom and my dad in my life, who unfortunately are not here due to a very, very unfortunate event. They're in Punta Cana for a week. But I would not be who I am standing up here talking to you guys without them. My sophomore year was awesome. Nothing could go wrong. Football was going great, and I was really earning my spot. I finally loved football again, and I was finally in love with high school, and I was in school with my sister again. It was a lot easier to talk to her and understand like what she was going through, and she finally understood what high school was really like. High school doesn't suck that bad, guys. I'll never forget this year because I had a horrible, horrible buzz cut, but because of the support I got from my mom, my sister, and my dad. I wasn't playing much varsity this year, but they were at every single football game. They waited by the fence for me to take a stupid family photo that now I look back on and I can see every day. My family situation was not great, though. Everything was a fight, and I took all the blame for it. Every swear word, anything in between, I pushed it all on myself. I was so angry at myself and thought I would be nothing better than to just leave my family and never come back. This is when I found out about a Friday morning mass. I went to this mass, and I sat down. And as I sat down, thinking about my life, a mentor in my life sat next to me, Coach G. He sat next to me, and during a moment of silence, he put his arm around me while my hands were in my face was in my hands. He had no idea what I was going through, but he was going to be there for me with no judgment. I trusted him, and I promised to this day that I would do anything that he ever needed. He was a difference maker for me. He told me to do what I loved no matter what situation I was in, and that was always football. I'd go to a facility every night, and I'd work out, and I'd take out my anger and do whatever I needed to do to get my mind off it, but I was playing football because that's what I love to do. And then there was my dreadful junior year. This is a year after a predominant question opened up in my life: why me? This question has lingered in my mind ever since that dreadful August 28th day. This is the day I tore my ACL for the first time. I was on top of the world. I started the season with a game-winning touchdown, and the second one I had a great game. Week three rolled around. It was Hoban week. And we were just running through a team run drill, and little did I know this would be my last one. I put all my effort into practice because I loved going to war with my guys. I felt a pop in my leg, cutting upfield. My dreams were crushed. I thought I'd never be able to play football again. This was the absolute lowest moment in my life. I had no one to turn to. I had no one that I could go back to because I was too tough. I felt that I had to go about my day with a smile. I couldn't let anyone know how I was feeling. See my teammates run out there after a big win, or just play out there together because that's what I love to do. But the truth is, everything was okay. This is when I met Dr. Riley Jr. I had heard of him because his dad did my first knee surgery when I was just 11 years old. I did not know much about him until I found out he was Coach Alexander's brother-in-law. He treated me like a son. He is a true gift from God. He has no idea what he's done for me over the years, but one day I will be able to repay him. He walked me through everything I needed to know and how I was going to be able to get back on the football field. I went through rehab for the next 9 months. During those 9 months, I found a thing called Kairos. I thought it was just a stupid retreat. I get 4 days out of school. I get to hang out with all my friends. And I signed up with not a single one of my friends. So I went into it blind. I did not know anything about it. All I knew was that there was a naked baptism. There is no naked baptism. I had to throw that out. This experience changed my life and my entire outlook on everything. When I was at the lowest moment in my life, Kairos came. That's what they say. It comes when you need it most. And I never found this moment more true than when it did. But I'm so glad I did. This retreat shaped me into the person I am today, and I wouldn't be standing up here if I didn't go on that retreat. This brings me to my next person that God has brought into my life. He's sitting right over there, Mr. Hosman. He'd always pushed me and my friends to go on Kairos, but would never tell us anything about it, except that we'd have a good time. It opened my eyes. I always shrugged it off and never thought much of it because he's just a running backs coach. He was the one who pushed me to go on this retreat, and I'm so glad he did, and I'll never be able to thank him enough. I was able to open up on Kairos. I was able to be myself when I didn't feel like I could. I was able to reach people on a level that I was not able to reach before. And lastly, I was able to express my true self and not just how others viewed me. This was a big moment for me. I never expressed who I truly was. I always had a negative preconception from other people. Even people I'd never spoken to before. I hated this and I wanted it to change, but it felt like there was no way I could. I was not a nice person to people. I pushed people away and there was nothing I can do about that now. I regret everything that I did and the people I pushed out, but the only thing is I can make a future bright for others and myself. Now my fellow Kairos leaders will understand this. You have to look at it like your old house. You don't live there anymore. You live in a new house. You are a new person. My junior year ended great, and by the end of it, I was applying to be a Kairos leader. This was something that I wanted to be so bad. I idolized my leaders. I looked up to them. They were my leaders. They were everything to me, and they made me into the confident human being that I am now. My Kairos experience spilled over into the summer. During my senior year, I helped the community become brighter, and I was able to help youth, kids, and football. Just because of the kindness of my heart, not because I was made to. I was able to be myself, and I was able to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations, and to let others know that it was okay to be yourself. During the summer, I was elected to be a Kairos leader of K-153. This was an honor for me. I was so excited to tell my parents, all my friends, and all my family, just to let them know how proud of myself I was. This was an opportunity to express myself, to get my point across that it is okay to be uncomfortable and is okay to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations. Senior year started and it was great. I had senioritis from week one and it's still there. But this is when I realized God put someone in my life who walked with me for 16 years more than ever. That girl's name is Kate. She's my beautiful sister sitting in the back, and I admire her most. I always thought of her as just the annoying little sister who just nagged me all the time and wore all my clothes. But now I see her as my best friend, and I would do anything for her, and I'm pretty sure she knows that. God put her in my life to keep me in line. Without her, I'd be a mess. She knows when I'm upset, and she knows when something is wrong, but she always knows how to annoy me, no matter what. But I love her. As me and her started to grow a closer bond, it just became more normal, and it was more than just a hello and goodbye. We truly talk to each other, and it's great. She'll always be there for me and always be here for that. Be here for her. We were rolling, and then football season came around. We were rolling high, and we were coming off a great season. Oh, God. Week 14 came around, regional championship, and we played Hoban again. Little did I know this would be my last high school football game. But life happens. You win some, you lose some. But this was more than a loss to me. It meant everything to me. Football was my life. In the first quarter of that game, I caught a ball on the sideline, and I had torn my ACL again. I did not know. I threw my helmet in frustration right into the concrete wall, but I immediately picked it back up and ran out on the field. Limpingly, I took the field again and lined up. I continued to be the strong, committed person to that football program that I always was. No matter what, I went out there to fight with my guys. How could I leave them high and dry? God never left us high and dry. The game went on, and however I knew, I tore my ACL. We came to the locker room at halftime, and they made me take all my gear off. But I wouldn't, because I wasn't going to sit out for my friends, my teammates, my brothers. I went back to Dr. Riley, and no matter what judgment, he was going to help me. I was never going to play college football. I was never going to play football again. I was never going to be able to run. That's what everyone told me. But Dr. Riley and Coach Hospin, Dr. Riley and Coach Hospin believed in me. And I thank God they did, because I'm going to play college football, and I'm going to excel at what I do in life because of them. I want to acknowledge a couple of people that I brought today. My Kairos leaders. We were not picked together. We did not pick each other. I believe that God chose all of us to be Kairos leaders. There's nothing more special and nothing I treasure more than going on Kairos, and I'll never forget. I was a little nervous because my sister went on our Kairos, and I didn't really know how I was going to take it. But these people stood next to me the entire time, and during my entire talk on Kairos, I believe that's why I'm up here. They just stood with me, and they believed in me, and I always believed in them, because I wanted to make an impact on the kids on our Kairos like the leaders did on mine. Whether it was staying up till 4 a.m., sorry, Mr. Hossman, or every laugh that we shared, I'll never forget that. Thank you, K-153. And to our leader and to our teacher leaders on Kairos, Mr. Hossman, Mrs. Vid, and Mrs. Horvath, and Coach Turner, but he's not here, and Miss Irvin, she's also not here. But these are such adult role models. They set a great example for our Kairos leaders, and they helped us create the best experience for Kairos. Whether it was Miss Horvath and Miss Vid hysterically crying till laughing till crying. They were crying every time they laughed. Or Coach Turner's god-awful dance moves, or Coach Hoffman trying to do karaoke. They made our Kairos the best experience ever. And now, seeing them in school, I walk into Miss Vid and Miss Horvath's office almost every single day and get my free candy and have a great conversation. Mr. Lynch. Me and Mr. Lynch have not had we've had a great experience, but we don't see each other every day, and I wish we did. He always greets me with an awesome fist bump and a how you doing. He always has a smile on his face, but that's not what draws my attention to him. He's encouraged to be a leader. He wants to be a great leader, and he wants to see everyone do good. He sticks through it, even though his job is tough, and I understand that. And I truly believe he wants the better for Walsh Jesuit, and I see that in him, and that makes me want to be better for other people. Thank you, Mr. Lynch. And now my crazy uncles. So, my Uncle Jason, yes, the guy in the back with the ponytail. He has done so much for my life, and he has no idea. When we were younger, he always used to just keep us in check, whether he would steal my football and I would cry to his sister, my mom. My Uncle Jason wrote me a letter while I was on Kairos, and it was so inspirational to me. I had no idea what he was going through, but to be able to be his rock in his life meant so much to me. I was just the older cousin, but that's what I thought. He made me feel more than that. And I'm so glad that he's able to be here today, and no matter how many surgeries we have combined, we'll always be together. My Uncle Dean has been an incredible role model to me. He's always kept me in line, and he's always making sure that I'm safe, no matter what. He's someone that I can call 24/7 whenever I want to come over and take a shower, I guess, and ride the four-wheeler. My Uncle Dean took me to a tattoo convention this weekend, and I got my first tattoo, which I love. But I was going to get a horrible tattoo, and he stopped me, but it was really bad. My Uncle Dean, I keep him in my prayers every day. He's having knee surgery on Monday, so I hope you do the same. I watched him walk around that tattoo convention and limp, but he didn't have a choice because he wanted to be with me and he wanted to guide me through my path. Lastly, my Uncle Chris. You would think getting your finger chopped off by a snowblower would stop you from golfing sometimes. My Uncle Chris is on the golf course as much as anyone, and you'd think he's on the tour. He's pretty good, but he is my role model in life because he texts me after every game, no matter how bad I did, because I could tell he didn't watch some of them because he texted me how good I did. But man, he's just a role model in my life, and I thank him for everything he's done. Lastly, I just want to leave you guys with an image that I printed out that I saw when I was an eighth grader coming into high school. You always have a straight, narrow path. Your path is going to be straight and narrow. That's what you think. God has a plan. You have to stick through it. This is a picture. So on the top, it just shows like your plan. Your plan is always going to be straight and narrow. But God's plan is just a mess. But if you get to that finish line, then you're going to, it's going to work out. God has a plan for you. Thank you.
So much, ladies and gentlemen, for your inspiring and motivational talks. I'm going to shorten the announcement since we're running over schedule. If you have questions, please hold them up. Anybody have any questions? I guess not. I think I neglected to announce that you were supposed to write questions. So if you want to write some quick, or we can take some verbally from the floor also. Our next gathering will be here on Friday, April 5th. Our program will feature Ursuline College President, Sister Christine DeVin, whose topic will be Grace and Tradition, Catholic Higher Education. I'm going to dispense with our long announcements and just say to find information about the next First Friday and to listen to this podcast and past programs, please go to First Friday Club of Greater Akron website, and you can access information about tickets and also listen to those podcasts. If you're not on our mailing list, though, please see one of the board members to be on our mailing list or our email list so that we can keep you apprised of our activities. Now I'd like to do some recognitions. Please raise your hand if you're a first-time attendee at the First Friday Club of Greater Akron. Welcome. Please come back. I'd like these young people to give us a wave also. We are fortunate to have students from Archbishop Hoban, Our Lady of the Elms, St. Vincent, St. Mary, and Walsh Jesuit. Wave. We also have elementary students from Holy Family and St. Mary. Oh, nobody, I'm sorry, nobody told me about St. Helena. St. Helena is here also. My apologies. Communications problem, I guess. So, no questions? Does somebody have a question they'd like to fire from the floor? Please stand up and do that. We usually have tons and tons of questions. I guess they answered everything.
They did really well, yeah.
One more call for questions. You folks really bugged out. I guess it all came right through. Well, again, thank you again, and it's now my pleasure to introduce Walsh Jesuit student Natalie Sousa, who will offer our closing prayer.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Loving God, thank you for the opportunity to gather today and celebrate the journey of us students throughout our 4 years of high school. Help us to always recognize you in our midst, knowing that we are loved no matter what, and that we can always turn towards your love to deepen our understanding of ourselves and the world around us. Though the high school years can be difficult at times, we know that your love is always with us. We also know that we have been blessed to attend these schools, which focus our energy towards God and towards the greater good. God, give us the courage to be people of faith. Give us the courage to be people for others. We are grateful for your love and guidance in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, John.
Thank you so much. We want to thank everyone again for coming, and may all of you have a happy, blessed Lent, Holy Week, and Easter. And we look forward to seeing some of you back next month on April 5th. Yeah, don't forget to make a stop at the CYO table if you're interested in employment. And young people, please check the tables and take all the desserts that are still there. So
thank you so much.
North Central College. It's in Chicago. So I was committed to a school, Mount St. Joseph, in Cincinnati. So I was going to go there for coaching changes.
So is it right in the...
Of Chicago, so it's like a 30-minute train ride. So it's called Naperville.
Oh, so yeah, I cousin Richard.
Like
that's a fancy neighborhood.
Yeah,
it's like fancy.
So my dorm, like if I walk out of the dorm and walk down one minute, I'm in downtown.
Yeah, my cousin was executive at Sears.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right.
And he lived in Chicago. And he lived there. But they had offices in Naperville.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's when they had the Sears Towers.
Yeah, it's... I don't know what it's called.
Some other name. But, yeah, they lived there. I know they really liked it.
Yeah.